الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بسنته الدين أما بعد. My dear brothers, sisters in Islam, as we gather again on this blessed day of Yom Jum'ah of our new year, as you remember last time when I came here, we were talking about our Islamic Hijrah, new year, 1,426 years after the Prophet ﷺ entered into Medina. Whether it's a tradition or a style, but it has become a ritual for people to make New Year resolutions. And therefore I decided that today and next month again, part two, the topic today is so huge and vast that it cannot be submerged in one Jummah. So next month when we do again, we can have continuation of this. And that is especially for all of us, whether we are young or old, youth or mature and adults. We all need this topic. That as we are starting and embarking on another Islamic New Year, having aspirations and goals, it has become a tradition of people to make New Year resolutions. So Islamic New Year resolution, what is it? What is it that we as Muslim Ummah right now are lacking the most? What is it that is one thing that would act as a cure and remedy, as an antibiotic or a vaccination, immunization, to cure the social malice that is tearing apart the very fabric of our unity and community? Whether it is the case of a son or a daughter going in devastation or deviation, and the parents come in desperation to the mosque and to the imams, or whether it's vice versa, that the children come to the mosque of imam complaining about their mothers or their fathers going on the path that is not desired of it. Whether it's the issue of old or young, in any case, brothers and sisters, the issue that arises to the cause is lack of patience, sabr. Now we usually are programmed, or we think on that context, that sabr means that when I am afflicted with some injury, some disease, sickness, cut, that I bear it with patience. But Allah SWT in the Quran, throughout from Surah Fatiha to Surah Nas, is talking about the concept, conceptualization of sabr as being steadfast in prosperity as well as in adversity. Whether a person is in poverty or is in the luxuries and lavishes of life, he or she still has to exercise sabr. And that is why we understand that when it comes to the issue of sabr, it's not something that we can just bear in patience and then we are over with it, but it is a continuous 24/7 round-the-clock activity, as it is defined in the dictionaries of the scholars of Arabic, habsun nafs ala shay. Literally, sabr, coming from the root letters of sad, ba, and ra, sabr, it means habs of nafs. Habs means controlling your nafs. If you really look at this pretext, whether we are young or old, kids, youth, which as the more younger you are, the more impatient we are. The more younger we are, the more hyper and volatile we are. And as the older we grow, the more stability, tranquility begins to sink in. That is why something is linked with the sleep order. When we are young, we sleep more. We tend to be more sleepy. The day you come back from the hospital, you're sleeping probably 20, 23 hours a day. And the day you're closer to your grave in 70s and 80s, you're probably sleeping only 4 hours a day. Allah SWT is teaching us a lesson here, brothers and sisters, that as a person is going through the gradual stages of their life, transformations are taking place. And therefore, when a person is younger, is more volatile, more vulnerable, more prone to things, and they need to habs, they need to control. When it comes to the issues that destroy the very fabric of our society, whether it's domestic issues, financial issues, career issues, educational issues, whenever we are afflicted with something, what is the first reaction? That is what has to do with sabr. What is the first response? Like they say in this country, emergency response team, ERT. That is the first person to reach at the incident of affliction. In the same way, our bodies should have emergency response, defense mechanism, something that we can use to employ at the time, at the junction when we need the most. Whether it's the news of the death of someone, or whether it's the news of sudden joy and happiness. People die not just because of depression, brothers and sisters, but people die also because of extreme happiness and joy that they cannot bear at a certain junction. Certain flush and flow of happiness also takes life. So we don't, although that ratio may be lesser in amount, but the thing is, one thing we know, in terms of emotional sensitivity, sabr is very key and vital. It is something that we should do tarbiyah with our children from day one. And that is why Allah SWT starts off talking about sabr right from Surah Al-Fatiha, right from the first ayah. Because sabr, patience, is embedded in giving thanks to Allah. If I am a patient human being, then I must be giving thanks to Allah. I must be putting meaning to the words Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I will not just do lip service day in and day out, 5 times a day, 14 times or the more, depending how much I pray, that Surah Fatiha I start off with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I will put meaning to this ayah, this word. What does it mean that all praise and thanks and glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It means sabr, patience. And one of the things of patience that we learn is when a person is thankful, automatically they realize the gratitude. They realize the blessing and bounty upon them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they become subdued, they become indebted from their inner soul to give thanks to Allah, to worship Allah. They don't just worship Allah because they are scared and feared of Him, although that is also included and needed, but they also worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is their inner core heart, the sabr that they have inside, that ignites them and gives them impetus to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then moving on from Surah Fatiha, we see in Surah Baqarah many ayats of sabr. Foremost amongst them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Istaeenu bis-sabr was-salah. In Surah Baqarah verse number 155, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly says, seek help in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what? Sabr was-salah. Istaeenu bis-sabr was-salah. There's a point to be noted here, brothers and sisters. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the ayah, sabr first and then salah? As we know in the schools of tafsir, in the philosophy of tafsir, that we have something known as siyaqul ayah, that when there is something mentioned before in the sequential order, when something takes precedence, is mentioned first, there is a wisdom, there is a hidden wisdom that Allah is implying to us. That when Allah is saying, seek, ista'inu, just like we say in Surah Fatiha, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. In response to that ayah and that dua in Surah Baqarah, Allah is saying, ista'inu bis-sabr was-salam. We will not be steadfast and punctual and regular in our salat unless and until we have patience. So here lies the crux of the issue. That the beginning of being muttaqi, the beginning of being a believer, mu'min, the beginning of having taqwa, the beginning of having and acquiring the khashya of Allah begins with sabr. Someone who is irregular in salat, someone who doesn't pray at all, someone who is not even concerned about prayers, someone who prays maybe just twice a year. For that person, sabr is not the core of the issue. Because when they are patient, they will remember Allah. When they are patient, they will react and respond to every calamities of life. When they are patient, they will respond to every issues of life with what? Salah. They heard the news of Allah, they make wudu and pray. They heard the news of a new job, a new career, they make wudu and pray. They heard a problem in another brother or sister, they make wudu and pray and make dua for them. People don't just pray for themselves. But the Sahaba have taught us, and Rasulullah has left behind a role model for us, that we pray and make dua for others. There are times when people would come with their issues and difficulties, and they would make wudu and pray and make dua in their salah, out of their salah, for others. Brothers and sisters, Allah's mother is teaching us a very clear principle here. That ista'inu bis sabr wa salah. Seek help with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost with sabr and then salah. And that is why we see that when people used to come to Rasulullah complaining with issues like we do today, it's very natural. Families, they come to the masajid, they come to the imams and the shuyukh and they say, brother imam, respected imam, honored the imam, we have this problem, we have this issue, we have this difficulty, can you help us? What is there in the Quran and Sunnah for this issue? Imam, can you help me in this difficulty of my life, this turmoil and tragedy that I'm facing with? And then the imams respectively and honorably give them the ayats or the hadiths, trying to counsel them, trying to give them cure and remedies. In the same way, people used to come to Rasulullah for their problem, family issues, counseling. And many times when they would come and say that this brother of mine or this sister of mine or this person, this loved one of mine is engaged in such heinous and disgusting act or some sin or some problem or some issue, you know what the Prophet ﷺ used to say? The first thing, he would not give an answer, but give an answer with a question. He would say, does he or she pray? Salah. Because if they are praying, فَإِنَّ سَلَاتُ تَنْهَى, then if their prayer will stop them one day. Meaning what kind of prayer? The physical prayer? Just getting up and down and making two motions? No. The real prayer. If the person has embedded and really implemented the true meaning of prayer, one day their prayer will stop them from that. And why? Because their prayer will teach them patience. That is why we see that the Salah of Rasulullah was full of calm, serenity, peacefulness. Not a rapid rushing Salah. And that's why Rasulullah said, if you make a very quick movement in your Salah, Allah has nothing to do with that kind of prayer. Throws it back at you. Going, Allah Akbar, Salaam, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, As-salamu alaykum, As-salamu alaykum. Less than 60 seconds in a prayer for 4 rak'ah? Amazing. No. The first lesson that Salah teaches us, sabr. Starting from takbiratul ihram to the taslim. Making the movements with full tranquility and peace. Taking time in saying Subhana Rabbil A'la, Subhana Rabbil Azeem. Taking time in reciting the surahs. Taking time in reciting the tahiyyat. Taking time in reciting the Salah ala Nabi alayhi salam. Not rushing everything. Because the one who's rushing in Salah is the one who's unmindful of sabr. And that is why the scholars of Allah have defined sabr. Habsul nafs ala shay. Habs, meaning to grab something. To grab your soul. Brothers and sisters, sabr is that tool, that power, that strength, energy, enigma, that gives you the stamina to grab your soul and behave in the appropriate Islamic manner in response to anything that comes, whether it's joy or happiness, or whether it's difficulty or anything. And that is why Allah SWT is saying that those who get the news of Allah SWT taking away something from them, قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ إِنَّ لِلْرَاجُونَ, that when they have musibah, masaib, afflicting them, the first thing they say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We all belong to Allah SWT. Our properties, our things, they all belong to Allah. Allah took a job, no problem. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ إِنَّ رَاجِعُونَ. That job came from Allah, He took it away. He'll give a better one. Not tearing their hair apart, breaking their watches, breaking their glasses. What's gone? This is the end of the world. I've become jobless. If Allah has taken a loved one away, not wailing in such a disastrous manner that a person does not even recognize their face when they look in the mirror after crying and wailing so much. Rather, sabr is teaching us that power to control and hold the nafs in response to any emotional turmoil, to anything that has to do with the psyche of the human nafs. And that is why we see Allah SWT tells us in Surah Al-Imran, اسْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِتُوا. But don't just yourselves do sabr, but enjoy others with sabr. And a part and parcel of sabr is to connect people's heart. رَابِتُوا, ربط, tying something. Part of our being Muslim, brothers and sisters, is to tie ourselves with the social fabric of society. To tie our hearts with other people's heart. To enjoin one another. أَمَرْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَنَهْيٍ عَنِ مُنكَرٍ. That is part of sabr. Sabr is such a, like I said in the beginning today, such a huge topic, doesn't fit in one Jummah. It will take the next many Jummahs. But I today wanted to lay down the foundations, because as we are entering our new Islamic year, and as we have already entered, as we began to plan for the next 7 months, there'll be Ramadan coming, there'll be Sha'ban coming, Rajab coming, another Hajj will be coming. As we plan for the next year, one thing that should be paramount in our brains is, what am I going to do with sabr? How much more sabr will I be? Will I be from the sabirin? Al-ba'sa wa darra. that those who are patient on every kind of calamity, affliction and difficulty? Or will I be of those who just flip over and have such a flip that even the people who are around them get affected? I'll give you a small example. You come home, you had a bad day at work, you come home, your son breaks a glass on the floor. Now there are two ways to respond to that. If your father is the ayn of sabr wa salat, first thing that you think of mind, is my son okay? Did he get cut? But if you are not sabr with sabr and salah, you will just flip and get in a fit of rage that you let your whole pressure that was building from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 in the evening, no matter what profession we are in, on that poor little child. Now how did you affect your son? He will go on and say, okay, the next time something like this happened, I should do again like that. Why? Because Baba did it. Baba is my qudwa. Baba is my role model. I learned from my father. He did it in the house. Last time I remember when something broke, this is how he reacted. Brothers and sisters, children are naive. They're innocent. They're small. They're like liquids, fluid. Whichever container you put them in, they mimic us. You see a two-year-old always making salah. He does not know. He or she does not know what salah is. But they see you praying, they start making the movements, ruku and sujood, mimicking, practicing. So in this example that I just gave, that son will begin to learn that anger, rage is part of the Muslim's quality. No, wrong message. That is why sabr is so paramount to us. That is why Allah is saying, isbir wa sabir wa rabitu. But look, you yourselves accomplish sabr upon yourself, enjoying others with sabr, and when you're doing that, also make a rabt with others. Connect the hearts together. Bring people closer to yourself. When we have this fit of rage and anger, brothers and sisters, we inadvertently, unknowingly offend others and affect others around us, whether it's the wife, the son, the daughter, the mother, the father, whatever the case may be. Sabr is affecting each and every one of us, and yes, the person itself. But if the person has that sabr, then he's also giving the gems, the noor, the pearls, the qualities to others. There are people who in their families, just on the basis of their sabr, the great sabr, they are da'is, giving da'wah. People in their circles, in the family circles, remember them. Oh yes, that brother, mashallah, is very sabr. Oh, that family is a very sabr family. Like I said, sabr has many parts. There is sabr ala ta'a. Sabr on obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ista'inu bis sabr wa salah. Because if you are sabr, you will be praying. You will have the ta'a. You will have the courage, the stamina, and the zeal to make your prayer. Your heart will be mu'allaq fil masjid. Oh, it's 12:10, time for dhuhr. Let me start making preparations to get to the jama'ah of dhuhr. Oh, it's 5:30, it's time for maghrib. Let me start preparations to get to the jama'ah of maghrib. Your heart, qalbuhu mu'allaqun fil masjid. Because of what? Sabr. So sabr ala ta'a is a big gem. It's a big, huge. A huge reservoir of something that we can use to affect others. And the same token, sabr against ma'siyah. When the ma'siyah is there, when the disobedience is there, when the evil and the perils of society are there, you are patient. You don't engage in the ma'siyah. You don't get involved in the sayyi'at. You refrain yourselves. You protect yourself. You safeguard yourself. This is sabr. This is the power of sabr. But one who is not sabr will easily slip, will easily falter and flip and get involved in ma'siyah. And most of the time when people have nadama and they're beginning to do tawbah, the first thing they remember is, why couldn't I be patient? Why did that thing happen for me? Why did that sayyah or that ifl happen for me? How couldn't I control? This word control has a very integral part related to sabr. In conclusion for today, as we run out of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, we'll continue next month inshallah with the same topic as there's more to it. But I want to leave here this Friday, brothers and sisters, until next month, with the thought. We all know so far, from what we have just listened, that sabr, yes, is important. But then when you know the value and importance of something, the first question comes in your mind is, where can I get sabr? Is it sold somewhere? Is it available somewhere that I can purchase in huge quantities and store and hoard in my house, in my heart, in my nafs, in my soul? Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran, time and time again, that sabr is available. Look around you. One of the first things is salah, nawafil, that we can use to increase our sabr. Another thing, to be a very shakir person. To give sugar to Allah's mother all the time. Zakir, min al-zakirin, always zikr. Because the continuous form of zikr increases within us the khashiyah, the taqwa, the ta'ah, and automatically increases us in sabr. And always making istighfar. Tawbah was istighfar. Because when we make tawbah istighfar, Allah loves that. He loves us so much that in return of that tawbah istighfar, He blesses us with sabr. Increases the reservoir of sabr in our heart. And last but not the least of all, what Allah SWT has told us in the Quran Surah Kahf, a surah that we read all the time, every Friday, we should. That Allah SWT mentions over there in Surah 18, Kahf, I believe in the verses 22 or 23 in that area, I don't know exactly, but Allah SWT says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. And be patient. وَاصْبِرْ. Be patient. And the waw, al-jama'ah, join with those people who are patient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. And why are they patient? Because they need, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that ayah, that they need the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the rida, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are working day and night to seek the rida, the acceptance, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So get yourself to join this group and be with them, and this will be one of the ways to increase the sabr, and inshallah we'll continue next month with this topic. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirukum.